Welcome back to Force Podcast. We are dead. The Packers are dead. The Packer Force is dying. Packers lose to the Bears. I don't even know what the score was. It could have been 900-1. Packers got 1 point.
31-27, you fucking...
I know it was 31-27. I don't... I've been trying to dissociate from the Packers for the last, 48 hours. And it's not going well. I thought I was okay.
Did you really try that? Was that something you literally tried to put space between you and your Packers?
I kept trying, yeah. I felt like Saturday night after the game, it was like, you know what? Whatever. This can't hurt me. I've seen this game too many times before. This is going to bring about changes. Something's going to have to happen. And then I woke up at 6 in the morning on Sunday, and my mind could not get off how sad that loss was.
I definitely feel like I woke up at about 4 a.m. Spent a good solid hour and a half trying to just get back to bed before I had to pick up my phone and be like, I gotta say something that these people are saying things on the internet about the Packer Bears. The Bears are gonna be saying things. I gotta let them know. It's just that I couldn't let it go for more than like half a day. 8 hours I got away from it, maybe.
Yeah.
It's rough.
This is what the human brain does. It finds some problem, some conflict, and it tries to solve it. And when it's something that you're this attached to and that you're this invested in, it's going to drive you insane.
That actually puts words to my experience, because I was like, I've been doing all right. I've been doing well, I think, with it. Definitely didn't have that. What I had was all this guilt and just general anguish about putting Luther to bed at halftime of the game.
Mm-hmm.
My son, who was misbehaved after the Ravens game, would not go to bed when he was told, was like, yeah. So as punishment for that, because what I've always told him is like, we'll let you stay up past your bedtime as long as you go to bed when it's time. And so I said, next time you don't get to stay up for the whole game, you have to go to bed at bedtime. And that was a big mistake, because next time it's probably going to be a playoff game. And then it was the game. And so I put him to bed at halftime, gleeful. We played The Bears Still Suck at halftime. We danced around the living room because we knew they weren't going to be up for the end of the game. And then we went to bed, and they said, we're definitely going to beat the Bears. With all the earnestness a six-year-old can muster. And I thought about that for the whole second half. That was like what was on my mind. It was not so much like we're losing, our season is ending, but like Luther.
I got to tell my boy.
Yeah, the Luther is going to wake up in a world he is not ready for. And I was really nervous because, there's this kind of, iconic within the family picture of Luther crying in my arms at 4 years old after the loss to the 49ers in 2023. It was only four. And I was like, man, this is probably going to hit him real hard. I was nervous that he was going to be like, you know, have a reaction to it the way that, like, I feel like I would if I had the emotional control of a 6-year-old. But so, yeah, that was my problem. That was the problem I fixed myself to. And the next morning, he wakes up and he comes in my room. And what he had said was he wanted to check to see what the final score was. He wanted to do it himself, get my phone and look at ESPN. And so Peter had joked the night before. He's like, you're going to have to sit him down and you're going to have to tell him. And that would have been Peter's method. But I just, you know, I kind of like, and I get it. But I was like, I have to just kind of let him do what he wanted to do. And he's like, don't look at me while I'm checking the score. And he pulls up ESPN because he knows how to navigate ESPN. That's how much I'm on it. And he takes my phone and looks at it. And he just finds, he goes, what? How? How did the Bears win? And that was the most intense that he got about it. Mm. Was just kind of like, that's shocking. But it didn't destroy his soul.
Yeah, you may have saved him generational hurt by putting him in the bed. Like,
if he watched it, I think he would have had a bad time. Because it's funny because he knows that the Packers fandom is the top most allegiance in the family. He knows that. But it's funny, if you sit here and watch him watch a Bucks game, he is more live and die on every possession of a Bucks game than he is on every play of a football game. More locked in and score. Whoa, why didn't you just pass to Giannis? I just think that's easier to follow and to like
understand
the intricate, like, success or failure.
As a child who grew up as a Packer fan that was reluctant to get behind the Packers, but immediately was able to pick up on the Jordan Bulls.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But watching the Jordan Bulls, you were watching some shit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think it's just an easier game for simple-minded little children to follow real quick because the action is so bang-bang all the time. It's going, it's going, it's going, it's going, it's going. Where that's where, like, football lost me immediately. I was like, oh, football, they're going to take a break after every play.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Follow for 37-year-old kind of wannabe smart guys, too. So.
True.
Yeah. So, anyway, so he had this reaction and was pretty measured and, you know, that was it. And so, like, I feel like, in a sense, like what you're saying, Peter, about the human brain attached, that was the problem I attached myself to. And, And it kind of resolved. And so he kind of shielded me from the misery of it, because if he would have taken it hard, I feel like I would have still been thinking about that.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
I should have let him stay up for the game or whatever, you know.
That was a huge relief. That was a huge relief when you said that he didn't take it as bad as I thought I could have. And yeah, sitting him down would have probably been a way worse thing to do. Like, really catastrophizing it. Like, listen, no, I son,
did. I sat him down.
The worst possible thing happened in your life.
No, I sat him down when Aaron Jones got cut.
Yeah.
I did sit him down for that. And I think that wasn't like a huge emotional, like, negative thing, but I think it did kind of crystallize in his, you know, then young mind of like, we root for these players really hard and then they leave. And yeah, that's sad when they leave. And every year he asked me, he's like, Papa, was there a Packer that, like, mm-hmm. Is there bad news about a Packer? It's
good to break him into it early.
Yeah, right. Get him used to like that feeling and process, so it doesn't catch him off guard at 13 when Jordan Love goes to the Jets.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's been tough because my life has really been formed around the Packers a lot more recently, too. I feel like I've been really leaning into listening to podcasts, just filling my time. Like, I wake up and it's just a constant stream of noise. And I feel like half that noise that I'm pumping into my ears, it's like Packer podcasts and Packer noise and Packer thoughts. And I knew that the season wasn't going to end in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But, for me, this was the worst case scenario was ending. Well, you just look at it, of course, like what a brutal way to end. I feel like, is there any other game that you felt like went worse for another team?
No. Yeah. Like being bullied in that game would have felt better than doing as well as we did in the first half and then just plummeting all the way down.
Yeah.
Like, definitely went into the game with fairly low hopes, low expectations.
Sure.
But man, were they high after that first half.
Yeah.
It was a real easy task. Just don't fuck up for the next straight half of football. And then we did that.
Matt LaFleur has lost five consecutive second halves in the playoffs. His team, the Packers have been outscored in five consecutive second halves in the Matt LaFleur era.
Yeah.
And there have been three times where the Packers have won the second half of a playoff game. Only one of those three came in a win where the Packers outscored their opponent, in a playoff game. So there was the 49ers NFC Championship where we were getting the shit kicked out of us and we made like a little, almost half a fake comeback. And then there was the Buccaneers game, which was, more of a comeback, but kind of the same concept. Like, we got kicked in the mouth in the first half, and we came back, but not all the way. And then there was one game where the Packers had the lead, or they won the second half and won the game. I don't think you'll guess who it was.
Nope.
Shit, the Rams?
Yeah, it was the Rams.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That was. It's the least memorable playoff game of the whole Matt LaFleur era, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, what wins are there?
Yeah. I could not have told you that we beat the Rams before the book. I had actually spent like 30 seconds or a minute before within the past few weeks trying to remember who did we beat before the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I could not do it. It just didn't, because that was the year before they won the Super Bowl, right? It was the last Goff year in LA.
Yeah.
And so they were like, not shit. That was 2020.
Yep.
They had just won the Super Bowl, and that was like Aaron McDonald and Sean McVay are going to maybe retire. And no, they're going to come back and play. And it was like a super un. No. It was before. Yeah.
Anyway.
It was before. Yeah, fuck that. They had just made this. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So it was, yeah.
Okay.
This team in the second half in the playoffs, man.
Well, there's
too often.
There was something Jason Wilde said that is really stuck with me, and that's Matt LaFleur doesn't know how to handle success or adversity. And, like, losing all those second halves where we're up, like, yeah. Matt, no one knows how to, like, whittle away at a lead like Matt LaFleur does. Whittle away at his own lead. Yeah. Or at least that's what these teams
spend a lead. That's how he loves to spend a lead.
Yeah, he will spend a lead. And then, yeah, like, what evidence do you have, really, that he is, that this team knows how to overcome adversity? It just doesn't. And all those, like, Matt LaFleur is a fantastic football professor.
Yeah.
When it comes to the game of football, there's something that's not there. And that's okay, because, like, you love the guy. Like, he's obviously a great football mind. He's obviously, you know, one of the best, but...
I like the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say I love the guy.
You can't.
I love the guy. I love the guy. He seems really sweet. Like, genuinely, just a really nice guy. But he doesn't seem tough enough to continue to be a head coach of that.
So, I think we're probably... Oh, that's my cat. Millie's got the zoomies right now. She doesn't understand what's going on here.
Love Matt LaFleur, the guy. I only kind of like the coach. He can scheme up some offense. I texted you guys, damn, Matt LaFleur is in his bag in the first half. And boy, did he fall all the way the fuck out of his bag. He tried to keep running the fucking ball with an offensive line that just could not fucking run the ball, and then he tried to bail us out on fucking third downs with the fucking pass game that failed us. But man, did he lose absolute control of that fucking game.
Elliot, by the time you got back from putting the kids to bed, we had been through 2 3-and-outs, given up a field goal, and the Bears were already back driving. I can't remember. I think they might have gotten another field goal right there or something.
No, they got a – that was the fourth down interception.
The fourth down interception. It already had this feeling like, hey, things are getting out of hand here real fast.
Yeah, I mean – feeling of foreboding.
Oh, stop doing that to your computer. That sounds awful.
Okay, there was a feeling of foreboding. And I think it, like, the reason why that feeling hit so quickly was because it was kind of expected, like, maybe even subconsciously, like, this is just the pattern of the games, man. This is just how Matt LaFleur has coached his entire tenure in Green Bay.
There's something in it that you're built in and you're like ready for it. You're ready for it. Yeah. It is totally not shocking. It was not shocking or off the table.
Yeah. You hope you get those one or two scores you need to win what it seems like he doesn't realize is still a competitive game. Like, I think Matt LaFleur just needs to fundamentally understand that his strategy when he's winning is bad strategy. Even if you blow a 3-score lead, like, even if you blow it by, like, turnovers, whatever, like, that's just the game of football, man. Like, keep playing the game. When you're winning the game in the first half, you don't need to completely abandon the strategy because you're now playing with the lead. Like, you can just keep trying to kick the fucking other team's ass.
Yeah.
And he just
goes to a prevent offense.
It is exactly that. It's prevent offense. Just completely. And it hurts.
Yeah, what?
It hurts the franchise.
So I want you to tell me where you think Matt LaFleur, do you have any specific examples of where can you pin this on Matt LaFleur?
I mean, honestly, for this game, mm-hmm. I think I don't know what they did at halftime. But all I know is Ben Johnson got 15 minutes with his team and Matt LaFleur got 15 minutes with his.
Mm-hmm.
And LaFleur's team came out worse and Ben Johnson's team came out a hell of a lot better. And to me, it's like, I mean, you can't say that that's not the turning point of the game.
No.
Halftime itself. And when they came out, it was just like, it wasn't like, it didn't even get to the level of decision making, because it was all of a sudden they were winning the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, where they had been losing the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball in the first half. So what did you do? Did you talk about a kid that got hit by a car?
All right, Matt. Oh, like, shit, I just got a text.
Like,
get on my car, I just got hit by a car.
It's
bizarre. The energy absolutely 100% flipped. I texted both of you guys before half. The Ben Johnson looked completely humbled over there.
Yeah.
We had Ben Johnson in a position where he looked like he was chewing on his fucking hat. He didn't know what to do. Felt like a lost little fucking schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went into the locker room and came back out. And Ben Johnson found some balls and Matt LaFleur lost some balls.
I really don't want to give the Bears shit. Because Ben Johnson coming out of the half still sounded like flustered. When he was talking to the reporter, it still sounded like he had marbles in his mouth. Sounded like he could barely get through his words. It sounded like he was nervous. Like it still sounded like he had a big hill to climb. The Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That was us more than Ben Johnson. I think that's what feels so bad about this. More than Ben Johnson, it feels like Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur. Remember that timeout in the fourth quarter that Matt LaFleur took, and you were like, it feels like whenever Matt LaFleur does this, he comes out and the play call is worse. And then they came out and got a false start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
Really bad. And that was pattern. That was what Matt LaFleur does.
And also the timeout on the final drive.
Yeah.
Really? You take a timeout on a 5-yard first down reception where you can run it up and spike the ball. Oh, we got to save the down. Dude, you don't have time to need 4 downs.
That's the play that you do in bounds because you have like just enough time to be able to do that.
Yeah, you run that up and spike that. And then you can avoid a 10-second runoff. You guys realize we had a penalty with a 10-second runoff on the second to last play of the game? Like, we were driving. Jordan Love was driving. And
we had an injury with a 10-second runoff.
Oh, it was the injury.
Yeah.
Right.
You the can avoid that injury. Ball was so complete. And just felt so helpless that I don't really recall any particular second of it. It felt like it was doom the whole time.
Man, Jordan Love still led a hell of a drive, but he didn't have enough time. The worst part of Jordan Love was that last throw, was that last desperation throw.
Yeah.
And that was sad.
But once, I mean, first of all, you have Leketis Smith.
Cetus.
Heike.
Yeah.
They said Al Michaels said Leketis.
Al Michaels hasn't read in 5 years.
He did perfectly fine until that last snap. Then is a fumbled snap. Jordan Love picks up the ball, and he looked uncomfortable for way too long. He was, like, uncomfortable picking it up, thinking he was about to get sacked, and, like, pivots out, rolls out of the pocket, still looks uncomfortable. It's like, dude, you have to remember the fact that you fumbled the snap is just going to make this hurt worse for them. Like,
yeah,
you have to see the vision. Like, fucking you own this moment. And that was the one time where it was like he did not, because that throw wasn't close. And I'm not a quarterback guru. Don't listen to me on anything football, except I know this. If you're throwing a Hail Mary to win the game, you have
to
throw your high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Way too low. Bad trajectory.
I feel like if
you learn one thing from Aaron Rodgers, like, I didn't think there was a lot to be taught from Aaron Rodgers in a school of fucking Hail Marys, because they're fucking Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Should be obvious. But goddamn, 101 is you got to put that motherfucker in the air.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that we could tell Jordan Love, I would love to tell him, next time when you drop the snap, just know that's going to make it hurt worse for you.
Yeah.
Is there so? All right. Realistically, do you put any responsibility for this loss on injuries? Because I mean, working backwards, Sean Ryan's injury doesn't even matter in the sense of the dropped, you know, exchange. Even though that really hurts. The 10-second runoff there hurts you even worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Going back, Edgerrin Cooper was fucking playing like a maniac. And he gets hurt. And at that point, it's just like, oh, this is the story of our year. It felt like that. Zach Tom not being able to play, and then after the season saying he's getting surgery to repair his injury. And then, of course, you have Craft.
And Devontae Wyatt.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, the injuries, yes. Like, at the end of the day, when Bears fans try to assert that they own us and all that shit, it's like, first of all, You don't. Our coach would never be caught dead saying fuck the Bears because we don't think about you that much. And this was an injury-addled season where we lost just insurmountable losses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we still should have won the game. With the half team we had, we still should have executed to the point of victory.
Look at the San Francisco 49ers.
Dude, look at us in the first half. Like, we did, there's no doubt.
Stop that, like, doing that with your computer.
Sorry, it's the angles matters.
Okay, hold on. Never mind.
But yeah, so I think, like, I don't care to blame injuries for the loss because we still should have won.
If you're up 21-6, 21-3 at halftime,
should be up 24-3.
Yeah. Yes.
If you want to blame someone, I think Brandon McManus is the second.
Okay.
Beyond LaFleur, because that's 7 points that his foot took away from us. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah.
I wasn't as worried about the momentum of the missed field goal at halftime. I know someone made a joke about, like, that was joked about, but, like, you've got 3 points. You got a chance to get a field goal late in the game to push it from 3-6, which, you know, and then an extra point that you miss. Just all this shit. You should have a touchdown more. If you have Cairo Santos and they have Brandon McManus, you have a touchdown more.
Yeah.
And they have a touchdown less.
Do you blame Rich Bisaccia for Brandon McManus?
I don't care. I don't think Rich Bisaccia, like, apparently we're paying him a lot. He's not worth a lot. I don't care for him. But I blame Brandon McManus for Brandon McManus. Yeah. Anders Carlson could have missed that many fucking kicks in an important game, I'll tell you.
Sure.
Probably wouldn't miss more than fucking one of them.
So.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about Bisaccia. Like, yeah. We needed to fix the special teams. We reached out. We found the fucking most expensive special teams coordinator that there ever was. We brought him in. He didn't change a fucking thing. What do you do?
Now, I will say, I feel like special teams has improved a little bit. Like, I feel like our coverage teams have improved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't blame him for Romeo Doubs dropping the onside kick.
How many penalties do we still get on special teams?
A lot of penalties, sure. But our coverage units defensively, I don't think we gave up any returns that were super consequential this year. Kick returns.
Duvernay had some good ones.
The Ravens?
No.
Or Bears?
Bears.
Yeah. Well, you're also dealing with injuries on special teams too, right?
Yeah.
Because you lost Bo Melton, you lost Diamond for a while.
My wife's home. So, I think that there's definitely other things that you can point to, but I think all of us feel like the one person to blame for this is Matt LaFleur. Is Matt LaFleur the Queen of Cups?
If the Queen of Cups is a bitch that needs to get the fuck out of town.
Do you think we should fire Matt LaFleur?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Pretend that we are all voting on our stock, on our single share.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, you vote yes. Hey, man, I vote yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty... I like... If I have to leave my house to vote no, I'm not going to vote no. Like I could
not okay.
I think it's just like you've got. I talked about firing him for the whole season. That was the number one storyline that I brought to this podcast all year.
Yeah.
All the tumult of the season. If he's able to knock off these three straight division opponents, it's all irrelevant. And he beat the Vikings, he beat the Lions, and he beat the Bears all in a row. And then he lost every single fucking game for the rest of the season. And so that kind of undid that. I think in the way that these losses keep happening... Like I said, the reason you fire him is because I don't know how you go back to work with that guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
But this... I will also say that's a removed stance because there are people who did go back to work with that guy fucking today. And the other part of this is I also just don't want to admit defeat yet.
Sure.
To Ben Johnson. Because Ben Johnson called his shot on LaFleur, beating him twice a year, did it. Now you fire LaFleur, you say, wow, he can't handle Ben Johnson. I think, like, at least, you know, give him a shot with Micah and Jordan.
Oh, man, I don't know.
You know who had raving support, who had very strong support for Matt LaFleur?
Parsons.
And Tucker Kraft.
Okay.
And that...
Here's the thing. I don't... I look at the situation and it just looks like bullying. And do you really want a fucking coach that you have to negotiate the situation where you feel like he's being bullied? Or do you just fucking move on and get a new coach and not deal with having a coach that is being bullied by another coach in the fucking division? Because I think if you enter the next season the way things stand, I feel like LaFleur is being bullied, and I don't want to go into a season with that.
If
I kind of do, though. Maybe that's what... Maybe that's the turn that the team needs to take. Like, I want to see Micah Parsons go chest-to-chest with Ben Johnson in the pregame next year. Say, motherfucker, you keep my team's name out of your fucking mouth. Nobody sit here and called you out and said, fuck the Bears. So you shut the fuck up.
Hmm.
Have your players get pulled away from the coach if he wants to start talking shit.
If you fire Matt LaFleur because Ben Johnson bullied you, doesn't that ultimately mean the bully won? Doesn't that give the bully more power?
Here's a question. Is it a little ballistic to go after the Bears for saying fuck the Packers when we here on the podcast have acknowledged for years that it's the Bears still suck, but it's always fuck the Vikings?
No, they have every right to say that to us because we've always been fine with the Bears ultimately because we've never given them anything.
Right. We've always kind of been more sympathetic to the Bears and treated them with a PG-13 take because we're not really threatened by them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well,
situation's changing. I think that this calls for I expect the Bears to have that attitude towards us, but he said it in the locker room when the cameras were rolling, for the cameras to roll. They were talking about it this morning on Denver Sports Radio. Talking about him saying that, Brandon Stokely and Mark Schlereth going back and forth about whether they think that's cool. And the Broncos, by the way, just got their playoff opponent. I thought they were going to be full throttle previewing the Bills, but they were talking about us and Ben Johnson saying, fuck the Packers. And
said it with a whole chest.
Yeah, and then he was asked about it today, and he said, you know, that's how I feel. And what he said was, fuck the Packers, fuck them, fucking hate those guys.
Big MAGA energy.
And so, that's fine if he thinks it, but he wants to show off for the cameras. And so I think, you know, if he wants to make it a show, let's make it a show. And maybe this team needs to step up into that energy and get some fucking motivation from that. Because the team looked super fucking unmotivated after they thought they had beaten him in that first half. And that's the number one thing that needs to be fixed. And Matt LaFleur is going to stick around and he's not going to fix it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This, I feel like the gauntlet was thrown down, or the challenge was thrown down by Brian Gutekunst at the end of last year, saying we need to get more physical. We are going to get more physical. This team, basically calling out all the problems that you saw with the Packers. I think they've gotten a little bit more physical. But I feel like the problems are still all there. And so for me, that feels like a lack of accountability. That was the challenge of this season, was to overcome the problem. Are we going to be able to overcome the problems that we've had? We had Micah Parsons for a little bit to help us with that. But ultimately, the team that we were meant to go into the season with went 0-5 to end the year. Yeah, how is that? How do you keep that coach around? How do you say that we, you know what, we met our targets and we like where we're headed? It's strange. Yeah. It's really strange.
Yeah.
I get it. I feel like, you know, Aaron Nagler, I think, put it really well. Like, the one reason why you don't blow this up is because you just opened up your three-year window with Micah Parsons, with this team. And then to try to rearrange that is tough. I don't think you can do that. You bring in Micah Parsons, who says he, you know, one of the reasons why he wanted to come to this team is because of this is your unit. You had your coach, you had your quarterback, and you had your defensive star. The problem is that there's just been so much already that tells you the faults with this team. And they are deep. These faults are very deep into the DNA of this team.
Yeah.
I mean, also, they run largely through injury, but, I mean, every season you're going to have injuries. Whatever we go into the next year's playoffs with, it's not going to be 100% of what we hoped. It never is.
Yeah. But injuries didn't give us those leads to blow, Andrew.
True. But we sure did fucking blow them.
Sure did.
No.
What makes you hopeful besides Micah Parsons? Because I don't want to, like, Micah Parsons might get it. He might blow the same ACL. He might come back too early, and that thing just, like, snaps in half. So. Yes, Micah
Parsons. If that happens, we're on a completely different story, and the trajectory is just, look at how horrible everything in the world is. No, I'm not joking. As funny as that may be, if it turns out that Micah Parsons is a bust and does not get back up to Micah Parsons levels of being Micah Parsons, it will hurt the team for years, and it will define a period of time in Packer fandom.
For me, it's like, that's like 30 years. For me, it's like, oh shit. It's starting, isn't it? The dark years. The fact that the Bears and Packers will never actually be good at the same time, and the Bears just finally got all of their bad luck onto us. And it's time for
no. Us to just okay, up. This question was, what makes you hopeful? Little course correction reminder here.
Okay, all right, yeah. What makes you hopeful?
What makes me hopeful is fucking Michael Parsons is coming back, and we're gonna be a different team. We're gonna be a better team. We're gonna be back on the trajectory of the team that we were when we were fucking first in the division and leading against the fucking number one seed in the AFC.
Okay. Now, other than that.
Other than that, because that should be a given. But that should be a given because it's fucking gigantic.
Yes.
Where we were going before Micah Parsons went out.
It's just that Peter explicitly asked us to name something other than Micah Parsons, and then you proceeded to just name Micah Parsons.
That was because it deserves to be fucking acknowledged.
Well, it was acknowledged by Peter anyway. That wasn't very good podcasting, Andrew. You kind of undermined the host, which wouldn't be a big deal if you were the host, but you know.
This isn't good podcasting. Or that duty.
Listen, we all got to be better.
It's true. Hey, do you blame the state of Wisconsin? I kind of blame the state of Wisconsin. I feel like there's just kind of like a, oh, here we go again mentality that just permeates all franchises.
No, you know what I remembered? I was like, oh yeah, the Brewers eliminated the Cubs. So if you pull it, you can fake it and just pretend those things are equal. Like, oh, you got us. Just like the Brewers knocked the Cubs out, you guys knocked the Packers out. Oh, ho.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Cubs mean just as much, if not more, to Chicago people.
Yeah.
Except they also have the White Sox. Anyway, let me answer my question. What gives me hope? Jordan Love, there was a different. There's a different look to him. Jordan Love, apart from like the whole third quarter, was really ready for this game and played really well through a lot. And he's going to continue to get better. Matthew Golden as well.
Dude, that Matthew Golden touchdown.
That was so yummy. This offense, I think, you bring back Matt LaFleur and hopefully he does. It's so hard because you just feel like every year it's like, oh yeah, Matt LaFleur is the best and you're going to get this consistency that you're looking for, where it seems like this year, again, there was just so much inconsistency on offense, from the beginning.
Here.
Yeah.
You've got an off season to account for Micah Parsons and the Micah Parsons trade that left a hole in the middle of your line. You're going to have Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt manning those spots. Then it was Devontae Wyatt and then Devontae Wyatt got hurt. Not only do you get Wyatt back, you now have the chance in free agency and the draft to address your interior defensive line. You have a chance to address cornerback. You have a chance to address running back. These places where you just kind of found yourself a little bit thin this year, you know, because the Packers need to start looking for their next feature back post Josh Jacobs, and it's not on the roster right now. So you figure they might draft someone exciting there. You're set at wide receiver. I mean, even if we do lose Romeo Doubs, which, what a fucking game by Romeo Doubs.
Oh,
that would feel
God.
Like a killer loss.
Heartbreaks for that guy.
You've got guys in the room to kind of hold steady there. You need a better second tight end, I think. Well, I mean, I guess you got Musgrave, but he didn't really do it for you this year. And yeah, and you have more time to figure out the shit like the offensive line, where it seemed like it looks like the look is Sean Ryan at center, Elton at left guard, Zach Tom at right tackle, and whatever you want to do at left tackle and right guard, but like figuring those things out, I think, gives you a chance. And if you get a little bit luckier with fucking turnovers, or if you have some sort of epiphany there. That would give me hope. You got 30 seconds.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up, and I'll call you guys right back. With newness comes hope. With new beginnings comes hope. This season was on a downward spiral for a long time, for about 5 weeks, and it just continued to go further and further downward. And there's something about last season that you really need to shake off. And so I don't think, you know, too many people had hopes for a Super Bowl victory by the end of this year. Too many fans had their expectations or sights set on the fourth Lombardi Trophy for the Packers. And so I don't think there was ever a time when we thought that we were going to end as ultimate victors. But the way that this season ended, the reason I say that the way that this season ended is because, and the reason I say that it was the worst possible outcome is because you saw the fatal flaws in this team's DNA. And the idea that you're not going to change that, I think that flaw, the fatal flaw in the DNA ultimately does come from Matt LaFleur. The idea that that's not changed is really hard for me to believe that there is going to be the change and the newness that you look for and the hope that you're looking for. Last time this team had hope was when we felt like we were getting an institutional change with Micah Parsons. And Micah Parsons was going to bring about a new brand of physicality, which for a long time he did. But you take that away, and underneath, the flaws are exposed. So I think ultimately, it's right now, it's hard for me to be hopeful. This is a dark time. It's a dark time for this team.
It's not, though. This whole thing that I was saying earlier, and that for some reason we weren't supposed to talk about as far as hopefulness. Bro, Micah Parsons is that dude.
Go ahead and say it, because you're right. It does need to be mentioned, but I'll tell you why I wanted to say other than Micah Parsons. Go ahead.
But we already did the segment on the other than Micah Parsons is the thing.
No, but like, I want to address exactly why I said
because obviously Micah Parsons. I mean, am I supposed to address that for you? I don't understand the assignment.
You'll be okay. The reason I said other than is because yes, Micah Parsons himself, as a star, I think brings a certain level of physicality. And when that is removed, I think you see that other than him, there are holes all over this team.
Oh, absolutely.
And without, I think it is important to address those other teams, because you can't, otherwise you just turn into the Cowboys. That Cowboys had Micah Parsons. And what did they do with him?
They gave him to us because we're better than the Cowboys. We've got him now. We paid for him. We've got some good fucking ideas on how we're going to work this dude into being the Packers guy. Because fuck the Cowboys. The Cowboys ain't going to do shit with nothing because they're the fucking Cowboys.
I think ultimately you're right. I think ultimately Jerry Jones was, the, like, how we are going to become reason with the Bears.
You give your fucking arm and your leg for this guy, and there's a reason anybody else wouldn't have done it if we didn't swoop in and do it first. It's fucking Micah Parsons. He is a game changer. Look at how much he changed our game. We went from one of the top defenses in the NFL without him. We're fucking terrible. We're just bad. Bad. 5 losses straight. Dropping fucking 20-point fucking losses in the fourth quarter. Doesn't matter how good our offense wants to look, but our defense can't hold shit without that anymore. Get him back. All the players' levels go up at least 20 levels, 25 levels. Mm-hmm. Depends. What game are we talking about? Final Fantasy, 99 level scale?
99 level scale, sure. Sure.
Micah Parsons jumps everybody on your defense 25 levels up immediately.
I don't think so. I don't think Carrington Valentine is going from a level 25 to a level 50. I think
you think he's that low?
Yes. Yeah.
I think Trayvon Diggs is going. I think Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons together could be pretty cool. Reminder, he's under contract for next year. So the Packers, they're just in restructuring negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a free agent. He's our guy.
Yep, but not at that price.
Yeah.
And I don't think he expects to be at that price. Like, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. But
$15 million isn't even that crazy for a cornerback. I mean,
Nate Hobbs.
But it is when you look at the fucking contract. You can't pay a $15 million cornerback when you've already got basically another one.
Goody's free agent deals last offseason fucking stunk.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. That was detrimental. That was worse than the injury to Elgton Jenkins. That shit. Like, Elgton Jenkins was dead before he got injured. That deal made Elgton Jenkins' injury seem like nothing, which is really crazy.
This is the worst offensive line I've seen as a Packers fan in many years.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because Jordan Love's sack numbers were not bad. They were actually fine in pass pro.
Yeah.
Right, but our fucking run game plummeted. They couldn't
run the ball for shit, and that was like the whole shift we wanted to make this year was like to be a more dominant running team. We just weren't. Really makes you wonder who your offensive line coach is, who your offensive coordinator is. Like, I don't see a reason why fucking Adam Stenovich gets a job next year.
Yeah.
I mean, LaFleur has to know, but somebody – I mean, listen, if we're keeping LaFleur around, part of that conversation has to be, it can't be like this, dude. Like, the shit has to change.
Yeah, you would hope so.
I would take Nathaniel Hackett back at offensive coordinator. He was fine with us.
I would rather have him at offensive coordinator than Stenovich. That's fair.
Yeah. Or Mike McDaniel, you know, let LaFleur relinquish play calling duties. Something. Fucking something, man.
What?
I don't think they
were pondering keeping LaFleur and then giving. No, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, I think you need a new offensive coordinator. You definitely need a new offensive line coach.
You're probably going to need a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one thing all three of us have kicked around is Harbaugh.
I don't know. The Packers aren't fucking with Harbaugh. I keep hearing that people keep saying that. It's not happening. We wouldn't pay.
We kicked it around. Harbaugh, Tomlin, or fuck, who else was I just going to say?
Who was the last coach that the Packers got that had been a head coach before?
Nobody ever.
Ever.
Who was the head coach before Mike Holmgren? I don't even know.
Lindy Infante or some shit?
Sounds about right.
I couldn't tell you, but as far as I've known, as far as I've known the Packers in my personal fucking capacity, every one of their coaches has been brand new hired.
Yeah. Holmgren, Rhodes, Sherman, McCarthy.
Oh, Rhodes was a head coach before.
What?
Ren Rhodes was a head coach for the fucking Philadelphia Eagles.
Positive?
Yup. There you go. There's your guy.
God, that makes it even... That makes it even worse that we shit-canned him after just 1 year.
What teams was Ray Rhodes a head coach for?
Oh, man.
Ray Rhodes was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
This answer is...
Why did Andy Herman just answer that?
That sucks.
That was solid.
That was funny. I don't like that. That is like a fucking dark spot in Packers history to me, is that we hired Ray Rhodes as our only black coach ever and shit-canned him after 1 year.
Yeah.
It is significantly worse that he had been successful or at least had a fucking stint someplace else.
Once again, do you blame the state of Wisconsin for the Packers' loss?
And I blame the state of Wisconsin for significant racism.
That'll do it. Significant racism.
But for the Packers' loss, do I... No tie there.
Hey, racism will make you lose.
I mean, it should.
Well... I don't know how to wrap this podcast up.
Near did Aaron Rodgers know how to wrap up his fucking career. Well, the Texans did it for him.
He wrapped it up. Hey, man, that was a hell of a way for Aaron Rodgers to wrap it up.
With a pick six.
Pick six. And he missed he couldn't get a good enough hit on the guy to get him out of bounds.
He couldn't nudge the fella out of bounds, man.
He got sunned.
Damn.
I'm watching it right now.
That was crazy. That was crazy. That was a crazy way
to
go.
Like, bro, make that fucking tackle. You're done. Just make that fucking tackle.
So... Matt LaFleur is the Queen of Cups. And that is the way that our last podcast ended, and the outcome card, that it all came down to the Queen of Cups. There's still enough, there's strong support for Matt LaFleur in that locker room. Players, you know, hey, players can hate their coaches. I don't think players hate Matt LaFleur. I think that they respect him and that they...
Okay, but I forgot that I wanted to talk about this rationally for a half of a second. You're saying that Adam Schefter is reporting that they're going to work on getting an extension done.
Yes.
What does an extension look like? Because Matt LaFleur is a fucking hot shit candidate. If he's looking anyplace else, he can probably get max years, max money. Do you think we're fucking offering him fucking 4 years, $60 million?
No, I don't. I think that last game definitely brought his number down. Again, I don't know. This, I mean, Dude, we might wake up tomorrow and Mike Tomlin is just the head coach of the Packers. That could happen. A trade like that could happen. A trade like that could just be worked out.
If you think about it for just a couple seconds, like, it's reported they're working on an extension, but what does that extension look like from the Packers' perspective, and what does it look like from Matt LaFleur's perspective? Because Matt LaFleur can fucking get the house. Who says no to fucking Matt LaFleur that has fucking released their big shit head coach? You don't think the Ravens fucking take a shot at Matt LaFleur immediately?
Yeah. I feel like if we woke up to Matt LaFleur for Mike Tomlin straight up trade, that would make a lot of – I feel like it would make a lot of sense.
I don't think it makes sense for – I mean, it does make sense for Pittsburgh. They need that, but they have no quarterback.
They have no quarterback. Their next goal is to – rebuild.
Get a quarterback.
To rebuild, yes. So if you want some draft
quarterback. Fucking built a couple quarterbacks.
Yep.
Malik Willis and fucking Matt LaFleur and
Package Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the Steelers, you get a first round pick.
It's basically the ending of Any Given Sunday right there.
Ed Policy. I don't think you can trust anything those guys say.
No. Like, but I will say this. I will say this. The Packers are so quiet. Why would word get out that Matt LaFleur was negotiating a contract extension? If not to be like, no, teams, you're not going to get him on the open market. You need to call us.
Yeah.
If you want Matt LaFleur to be your head coach.
John Harbaugh is just this offseason's Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah. What if we just traded Matt LaFleur to the Raiders for Max Crosby? Boom.
Hey, done. You could do that. You could do that.
Sure, why not? I don't know for a fact you can.
They're about to get Fernando Mendoza.
Oh, yeah.
That's who you're developing? Max Crosby's a little up there in age. You get, ooh, because otherwise Max Crosby is so much a bear, I can fucking already taste it.
Oh, don't say that.
100% already happening if we don't trade for him tomorrow morning.
That can't.
I like, dude, close your eyes and picture Max Crosby in a Bears uniform.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it.
My Raiders fan friend is saying they need to trade him because it's time and whatever. So, Bears need a pass rusher. There's your dude. It's so.
Yeah, dude. I think you line up with Max Crosby and Micah Parsons and. Just put Baron Sorrell right in the middle of them. You only need three guys. You only need three guys out there.
Gotta steal them. No, we don't have the money. We could not possibly afford it.
Podcast was really fun.
Was.
Packer Forest podcast will be different next year too.
How so?
We don't know.
Oh, I thought you were about to announce that you're having a baby.
Right? What the fuck? What the fuck?
I was thinking about saying I was pregnant. Just to lie about it.
Man, no, you have a wife now.
I know.
You don't have to be the pregnant one anymore, Peter.
I'll dream. You like the hat?
I do. I saw it from the side. I was like, if that says U.S. Navy, I'm going to have to talk to Peter. Okay, the U.S. mail I fucks with.
Oh, what's his name? The journalist. Jabori? Oh, what's his name? I see him all the time. Feed. He's a good journalist. I like him. I just can't think of how to...
Jamal Bowie?
Yeah!
The New York Times columnist?
Yeah.
He was the first person to ever block me on Blue Sky.
Oh, really? Yeah, he had a picture with his hat, and I was like, damn, that hat's pretty fucking tight.
Nice. I respect him, but I told him that I wasn't voting for Kamala Harris because she supports genocide, and he was, like, not a fan of that. What?
I'm blocking you, too.
I mean, it was inconsequential. Kamala won Colorado.
No,
but also, if she had won, if she had stood up to genocide, she probably would have won some other places, too. So she can, the whole apparatus can suck my dick.
Oh, yeah, that was something I skeeted today. Was keeping Matt LaFleur feels very DNC.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I tweeted today that fucking Ben Johnson has big MAGA energy.
Yeah.
I want to see Matt LaFleur beat Ben Johnson's ass in a game next year and then just like walk straight the fuck off the field. Like no handshake, none of this fucking Kurt bullshit. You want to sit on the in the locker room and say fuck the Packers? Well, fuck you. You can fucking find my quarterback's coach and shake his hand. Like, seriously, if he wants to get petty, let's get petty.
Yeah.
Get petty. Okay. We're able to stand up right now.
What the fuck are we pretending for anymore? We see the locker room videos. Why are we shaking hands? This is bullshit.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, really, I'd like them to do the Giannis on Jaylen Brown, but he's not that kind of guy. He's just, but he could walk off.
Fuck you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I will shake that dude's hand one more fucking time.
This thing, it was just a couple years ago, we were riding 10 straight victories over the Bears. And now we're actually motivated to beat them, so I'm excited for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did we not get to that at all? Because I am incredibly fucking excited for next year.
Yeah. What a three-game trilogy that was. Yeah. It was very good football cinema.
It was. I'm absolutely here for it.
And I'm glad for the animus of Ben Johnson. I am. I'm truly glad for him because fuck him. And there's been no one in Chicago that you can sit there and say fuck him to in a long time. I mean it like that. Not since Jared Allen. Except, no, he was more of a Vikings menace.
Yeah, he didn't matter by the time he got to the Bears.
So who was it? I mean, the other thing was Lovey was really hard to hate. Lovey was like, I'm here to beat the Green Bay Packers. And he was like, respectful about it.
He was fucking respectful as shit.
How much do you hate Caleb Williams?
I don't hate Caleb Williams.
Not that much, right?
He also throws so many incompletions, it's kind of hard to be that mad at him.
Man, right? I feel he's going to get better. That dude is going to be a problem.
He's going to be a problem. But I respect it.
Yeah. I mean... Do you think Jordan Love outplayed Caleb Williams in that game?
He did. He clearly did.
I mean, in the first half.
First half, yes.
Statistically.
Caleb Williams outplayed him in the fourth quarter. But also, like, throwing that touchdown to DJ Moore. You know, like, that was just wrinkle-dinkle play design. Like, hey, let's pretend we're going to throw this screen and it's not working out. And then... it's a wide open man. Well,
we
like
did, Jordan Love. Yeah, we did the same shit to them.
Throw situation.
He was killing us.
He did have a couple of throws.
He was killing us in the honey hole, in the cover two hole.
Yeah.
To Holston Loveland over and over and over. I was so tired of seeing that shit.
It's funny because everyone's talking about replacing Matt LaFleur, and it's like, who's out there? And nobody's mentioning Jeff Hafley. Like, Joe Philbin got an interview when Mike McCarthy got, and if Hafley is that dude, I would take Hafley in the can he tell Ben Johnson to go fuck himself. Like, he can. I would take Hafley in that respect.
Yeah, but then who's calling the offense? Because if Hafley's telling
McDaniel.
And nobody's calling the offense, then I think he's just bluffing. And we can't just bluff this shit.
The thing is, offensive-minded head coaches are not that hard to find. Who's the offensive coordinator for the Rams right now?
Shula.
Is it Shula?
Mm-hmm.
I think Where's so. Mike LaFleur at?
Is he in college? Where's Mike LaFleur?
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, like, just pluck anybody, like, who's on a, like, offensive coordinator for a defense.
Oh, he's the offensive coordinator for the Rams. Shula is what, like, quarterback's coach or something.
Yeah. I mean, you can take Shanahan's OC. Any of those offensive coaches who call their own plays, their offensive coordinator would consider it a promotion to get an OC job where they call plays.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you have quarterback coaches all over the league who are like the next in line, right? That would be fine. Be one of those guys.
All right. Well, I'm going to put it on you. You find the next guy that can call plays and put him in.
They're a dime a dozen. So somebody skewed that. And I was like, I don't know about a dime a dozen, but maybe like maybe a quarter a dozen.
Andrew, what would you do if the Packers hired for their next head coach, Aaron Rodgers?
Don't do that to me. Don't bring me back to those times. God damn it. Nope. Wouldn't be happy.
All right.
Wouldn't be happy with you. Wouldn't be happy.
This marks the end of this season of the Packers Voice Podcast. We did 21 episodes. Or we at least did 21 episodes.
I mean, we don't have to be done. Yeah, but say like in 3 weeks, if word comes out that we fired fucking MLF and news breaks.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. I was just trying to say, like, okay, we have wrapped up every game.
Indeed.
Oh, we need some off-season podcasts.
Yeah, let's do a fucking tarot cast again.
In a weekly, do like quarters of the season, preseason. Playoffs.
Oh no, man. Are we even gonna have a fucking government then?
Yeah.
ESPN just played the Micah Parsons quote from his locker room availability. And he did affirm that LaFleur was one of the reasons he wanted to come here. He's one of the best people he's been around in the league. And then after that quote, they shared that the Packers blew three leads, 10 points in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter this season. And between 1970 and 2024, you hear that? 1970, like when the Packers started being bad?
Yeah.
They did that once. Not only that, but they're the first team ever to lose three games like that since 1970. Leading by 10 points.
This team is just a mark. This team is a target.
Fucking, yeah.
Multi-generational collapse.
Final 5 minutes. Jesus.
It's real bad.
Something's got to change. I think it starts with the whole state of Wisconsin.
What was the third one? Two against the Bears. We weren't up by 10 in Denver.
Not in the final 5 minutes.
Was that the Cleveland game? Yeah, because that was the game that fucking... It was 10-0. They got a field goal. Jordan Love threw the worst interception I've ever fucking seen. Even though, you know, it wasn't... It was at least like a disguised coverage that just fooled him. But.
Man, this year kind of sucked.
And, yeah.
Dude, they won one more game than they didn't. They went 9-8-1. Like, that's horrible for this roster. Horrible. They had some shitty losses. Cleveland, Dallas, Carolina. I'm counting Dallas as a loss. I don't give a fuck anymore. It's not going to help us win any ties. That shit was a failure.
I'm tired.
All right, man. Y'all can go to bed. I'm going to keep podcasting. So listen.
Terrible year. It was a bad year. It was on trajectory to be a good year.
I'll say this. The results were bad, but the football was good.
Some of it. Until Denver.
Yeah.
Denver had changed, man. Denver got bad. Real quick.
I recall. I was there.
I know you were.
Peter, do you remember how long I was sitting in my seat pouting like a little bitch?
I remember that, yep. That's why. That's what you had to do.
My pouting was utterly, like, justified.
Yeah.
By the ensuing performances. I pouted the exact appropriate amount, if not enough. And then I yelled at Carrington Valentine, which also was deserved.
Look. Are you surprised at all about the ensuing four-game performance after what happened in Denver? Because I'm not. That's basically what I expected.
The three-game performance, no. The fourth game, yes.
The fourth game, second half, yes.
Yeah. The fourth game's first half was what I was hoping for. Like, honestly.
Yeah, of course. It was fucking great. It was really good.
But also, it wasn't really like, oh my God, this is so beyond anything I imagine. No, like, this is what I want to do to this team. This is how I think we're capable of playing because we played them toe-to-toe in the back.
It's not beyond what I imagine because I have a really good imagination. But it was too good to be true to an extent. And it was, unfortunately, because God, it was fucking great until it all of a sudden really wasn't. And it's weird because it's so characteristic of both of our teams. We matched up in the perfect way to fucking do this to both of ourselves. The Packers blow fucking leads consistently, and the Bears suck in the first half consistently. In the last fucking four games the Bears had played, they gave up, or they scored 0 points, 0 points, 3 points, and in one of those games, they scored 21, but they gave up 28. The Bears have been notoriously terrible in first halves. And the Packers have been notoriously shitty to close games. And we met up together in the playoffs to make one of the fucking most epic fucking blown second halves in the history of fucking what the hell is going on here. That's been my TED Talk on that.
This has been the Pack Force Podcast. Fuck you, Chris. Bears are going to eat shit. Bears aren't doing shit the rest of this postseason.
Oh, no, they're done. They're going to die. And they're really bad.
I don't know. I could see them.
Rams?
I could see them competing with the Bear with the Rams.
Nah, they're fucked.
I see the Rams.
I would love it, but
I think Sean McVay is going to fucking
turn. Well, Stafford's got a hand thing, right? If he's okay, if he's good to go, then yeah, they're fine. But if Stafford or if Davante Adams is out,
look, I really, it was a fun first half. I don't think we have that first half against any of the NFC West teams. They're all better football teams than the
Bears. I mean, if there was anything that second half told me, I was like, as the Packers, I still thought we were going to win. It's like, this team is dead. This team just doesn't have it. First half team had it. First half team could win the Super Bowl. Second half team isn't beating anyone. We hope that you come back and join us again. Next week, tomorrow, 3 weeks, 3 months. Because we love the Packers way more than you do, Chris. Son of a bitch. All the other Packer fans out there. Almost as much. God damn it, I messed up my own thing.
Jeez, dude, you cannot hang.
Was the earlier thing about our dead aunt, Chris? I don't get it.
No, Chris Packers, who listens to this.